When we began today's divine service, we heard the address for Ash Wednesday that told us that from ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on His word and draws from it life and hope. That devotion, self-denial, and repentance mentioned has customarily been demonstrated by three chief activities during Lent: charitable giving, prayer, and fasting. These are topics that Jesus himself teaches about, as we heard in today's gospel reading. But who is meant to be the audience of those activities? That is, who is supposed to take notice of the charitable giving, or the praying, or the fasting that we participate in during Lent or during the other times of the year? In his teaching, Jesus answers those questions. He begins by saying, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Now, what is Jesus teaching here? And why does he give those instructions? We must first remember that Jesus is speaking about these matters in a very public way. He's addressing them in what we call the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. So when we hear this word of Jesus, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them," we need to note that this is not a private instruction that Jesus gave to the 12 apostles. It's not something that he only told Peter, James, and John, but rather, they are general orders given to everyone who would be part of the kingdom of heaven and who would live within it. What Jesus says here is meant for all of his disciples to receive. It's meant for everyone who belongs to the Lord. And he issues these general orders because Jesus wants everyone to be clear that discipleship is not meant to be a show. And discipleship is not meant to receive the approval of other fellow human beings. If you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, you might recall that very early in that sermon, when Jesus gives the Beatitudes, he included a teaching like this: "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." These words of Jesus inform the disciples that they really should not expect to receive all sorts of approval from others, but just the opposite, that they can anticipate that many of their fellow community members will actually disapprove of what they believe and also disapprove of the acts of piety that they perform. But it's interesting that right after mentioning that, Jesus also then goes on and talks about his disciples being the light of the world, and that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And we hear those words and we should start thinking, you know, well, doesn't that mean that the actions done by Jesus' disciples will be noticed? Won't others see the works of faith and piety that his disciples do? And it is true. It's true that the good works performed by Jesus' followers will be seen. And those good works may indeed include charitable giving or praying or fasting. And when those things are seen, the observers of those things may indeed give glory to God for those actions. Well, at least those who aren't opposed to Jesus and his ways might do that. But still, the purpose of conducting those activities is not to obtain the approval of others. Because receiving the approval of others is not the goal of Jesus' disciples. That's why he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Jesus' followers will live among people who do crave human admiration for their actions. People who will try to draw others' attention to what they are doing so that they can get all the fame and all the honor that they can obtain from their community and from their neighbors. And Jesus warns against this. In fact, he describes these publicity hounds of piety by saying, "When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, the ones who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. And when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others." When Jesus is talking about these publicity hounds of piety, he calls them hypocrites, which is a way of calling them actors. To be a little more pejorative, posers. That being the public donor, being the public supplicant, being the public abstainer is an acting role. That the people doing it to be seen by others are really players on the world stage who are seeking the applause of all those around them. And Jesus says about those type of people with that motivation, "Truly I say to you, they've received a reward. They've gotten all they're going to get by doing those things." That is, their actions have gained the approval of their human audience, but that will be the limit of their reward. And Jesus notes the negative aspects of rewards that are temporal. He says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Instead of seeking the approval of others, which eventually will dissipate, whether over time or at the end of time, Jesus' followers are exhorted to seek treasures in heaven that will last. But who can give those types of rewards, those types of treasures? It's not going to be the people watching us, but the Father in heaven can give those things. And that's why Jesus tells his disciples, including us, "When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." With these teachings, Jesus is directing us towards the rewards that the Father in heaven can give treasures that can last. Treasures not here on earth where the moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but rather treasures in heaven where those things don't happen. Where the treasures can actually last and not be taken away. And additionally, the motivation for performing good works such as charitable giving or praying or fasting can also be rightly oriented, having a good heart behind them. And so we should think about the right motivations for these good works. And in fact, that address for Ash Wednesday at the beginning of our service pointed towards good and proper motivations. It did say that from ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on his word and draws from it life and hope. And that is such a critical phrase. That phrase, born of a faithful heart. That phrase indicates a trust that exists in a person who's performing these actions. And what's the object of that trust? Well, the words that follow that phrase pointed it out. A trust, a faithful heart that dwells confidently on his word and draws from it life and hope. See, that's identifying where the person's heart is focused and what that individual's faith is rooted in. It's not the approval of others. It's not gaining fame and recognition from the community that won't last. But rather, that faithful heart is banking on the promises that the Lord has issued through his word. It finds life and hope in those things. For as good as the activities of charitable giving or praying or fasting might be, even those good works can be tainted. And those aren't the reason why entry into the kingdom of heaven is granted in the first place. Jesus' teachings are meant to move us away from thinking about Lent and its customs or any other acts of piety that we might perform as having those things be the reason for our life and hope. See, we do seek rewards from our Father who is in heaven, but even more importantly, we also know that the greatest benefit that he gives to us is not actually a reward at all. That is, it's not something that he pays out to us because we have earned or merited it. Rather, the greatest benefit that our Father in heaven gives to us is a gift. It is a gracious gift conferred to us. A gift rooted in what has been done for us. Recall how we heard Paul talking to the Corinthians tonight in the epistle reading, and Paul said something very important where he says, "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And then he mentions what Christ did. "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This being reconciled, this receiving righteousness is not based on us doing things to impress God, but rather based upon the great generosity that God has shown to us by literally giving himself to us, giving his son to us. And that same Lord calls us to be reconciled to him, which is his nature to do. as we heard in the Old Testament reading, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. It's that Lord who sent his Christ into the world to bring righteousness and salvation to us. And as much as this season of Lent might be marked by special devotion and self-denial and humble repentance, as that Ash Wednesday address noted, there was something even more critical mentioned, which actually is our true focus this season. On this day, the church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection, and our attention is especially directed, and it doesn't say it's especially directed to our charitable giving or our praying or our fasting, but rather it is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that action done for us, not by us, is presented for us to receive as the source of our salvation. In that word of God, which brings the gospel message to us, that's where we find life and hope. It's true that people might note the acts of piety that we practice as we follow Jesus, and we can let them see those things, even though we're not actually seeking their approval. We are really to do the things following Jesus, whether our neighbors like it or not. And we may indeed earn rewards from our Father in heaven based upon what we think and say and do in line with his will. But it's also true, those things that we do, they're not the reason why we stand righteous before our God and Father. Rather, the saving works performed by our Lord Jesus Christ are what establish the true treasures in heaven for us to possess, for us to have, presented to us not as a reward that we earned, but presented to us as a gracious gift. And when we have those as our focus, when we have those saving works performed by Jesus as our focus, then our hearts will be set in the right place. Now in Lent, also in Easter, and most importantly, for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.